Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a cold morning. Everybody's wrapped in woolen
Someone.
Snow.
Well, look here.
Snow outside.
No. We're back at the radio this morning to explore bridging polarities around building our beautiful city. Today, it's Luigi, and B, unfortunately, is not here today. Get well soon, B. We're thinking of you. We've got a imagined chair here. And there is Nicole, Abba, and Sauro from Lavenir with us this morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
For coming. And after many, many beautiful and challenging and intense and full of laughter discussions about bridging the polarities on a meta level, that again and again brought us to the point of saying it's all really rich, and actually we agree on so many things when we speak about the bigger picture. But when it comes down to implementing on the ground, to building those roads, to cutting those trees, to marking those buildings, then we clash and we cannot agree. So let's take examples, let's take concrete topics and explore those a bit. And as a first topic, we took mobility.
Right.
Transport. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons, those of us who travel on our motorbikes and cycles, and some of us more and more in cars, and in the school buses, the roads of Oroville, it's becoming more and more of a challenge. There's a lot of traffic from within and from without. There is accidents, a lot, some of them really shocking and tragic. There's a lot of dust traveling on the sand roads. People wrap themselves up, look like Bedouins somewhere.
Some people do, like in Star Wars, no?
Yeah, to protect from the dust. And other challenges. So it's an obvious real-life topic. So that's our topic today. And we would like to explore a bit with the representatives of Lavenir who are here, what's in their, on their tables, in their drawers, in their minds, about mobility.
Yeah.
And Luigi also has been working on the topic.
Right.
And I'm going to kind of wear two hats today. I'm going to try and do justice to B's dream of cycle path.
Correct. Here is the flag.
To facilitate a bit whenever needed.
Right.
Who wants to start? Luigi?
Yeah, just in continuation of your focus introduction. In fact, I was prompted by the concern of the residents about traffic, being not the only one, but one of the major concerns. A resident of the center field, resident of Darkali, with the youth center, and so on and so on. Many, many points where the future Crown Road was creating a change. And in general, there was an openness of if traffic would be more eco-friendly, there would be an opening. When we spoke of cycle path, when we spoke of solar tram, when we spoke of electrical buses, electrical vehicles, at least what is available today, but more regulated. A certain fear was expressed about the porosity of Oroville. And it's true. Today, when you look at a map, you have at least 10-15 points where you can enter Oroville. And particularly the rickshaw drivers and other motorbike users coming from Pondi, they know very well all these points. So to make a long story short, we took up all these points, we summarized, and we add also coming with a list of 20 points, which I suppose you have received, and which we are not going to discuss today in detail, but we would like to hear from you your vision, your plan, your possibilities, because you depend also by many aspects, including budget. not only of jazz making, hard, how you say, the, hardcore infrastructure, but traffic management, so that concrete solution can be presented shortly.
Okay, I would just like to say that we have been discussing mobility and traffic in Lavinia meetings in recent weeks. And one of the questions that keeps coming is that we want traffic to be eco-friendly, but at the same time, how can we keep Oroville just for its residents? It has to be open to others, including tourists and people who work in Oroville. So there are two questions really that we need to balance in terms of traffic as of now. We don't know 10 years from now what would be the situation. But first of all, we have Orovillians, 50% of whom may be staying in the city center, for whom traffic mobility is easier because they can go on their cycles to work, to schools. 50% of us are still on the outside of Oroville in large communities like Oromodel, Aspiration, etc. So we do need some form of transport which is fast, which can get us to our workplaces, and which is not too polluting. So I think, and at the same time, people from outside coming into Oroville. So we are working on an eco-friendly Lavinia, I think, would like to have an eco-friendly traffic mobility concept, especially on the Crown Road. I think we are planning to have electric buses. There's already electric carts from Visitor Center to Matri Mandir.
Right.
So in the city center, it is possible to implement or enforce to some extent. But given, as you said, the different points of entry in Oroville and how difficult it is to close these points or to have check posts everywhere, I think it's a long-term kind of a issue that we need to work on with AV security and with other groups.
I can add a few more elements in general, I mean, because... first of all, we need to see traffic management in perspective and in relation to both the urban design of the city and the regional context. One limitation of the discussion we had until now is that we had the whole topic of discussion and traffic management keeping a kind of Oroville-centric view. I mean, and if you want to have a proper traffic management, we need to come with an integrated solution. In this sense, we have having some thought, but we are at the initial stage to work with the collaboration of some experts to a regional plan for mobility, because the main point is that only the people who have some work to do in Oroville, or some reason to come to Oroville, should enter Oroville, and we should not encourage through traffic like it happened now. And there should be, therefore, there should be alternative. Master plan envisage two bypass, one between Kula Palerma and Boma Palerma, and one on the northwestern side between Kota Kerai and Matur, and these are elements that we are taking as high priority, because that is one first element. I mean, so that whatever is regional traffic and traffic that goes from point to point and does not need to come in Oroville's final destination should have a better alternative that is more attractive. The other element is related to the internal urban mobility. We have prepared a brief for a survey as a first step, because we to study what is actually the mobility need at the moment, in order to give afterwards some immediate measure and answer. And then the main point which we are try to focus is the integration of the mobility with the urban design. As Abba say, the first point is that to consolidate, I mean, the physical presence in population and consolidate the service and the need of the amenity, and so that everything is on a walking distance. If we take the city area, whenever I mention the topic mobility with our chairman, Mr. Doshi, he immediately shut me up and say, why are you talking mobility? You should not even take into consideration mobility, should not, because you are a city where everything is a walking distance, why you have to think about mobility? I mean, of course, this is kind of extreme view, but in a way, it gives a sense. You know, if the urban design and the building are somehow coordinated along certain axes, then we might have a need of mobility that is more manageable. And in this sense, the Crown Road can play a very important point. One of the concerns of many people is that construction of road, especially on the Crown Road, will be more lead to more traffic. But in fact, the ultimate end, ultimate result, it will be to reduce the traffic and produce a better traffic control. I mean, because, for example, it's difficult to regulate the traffic and access on road like Certitude Road, which are village road, which are existing since before Auroville, on which we have no land control, on which attempt had been made with even with the police to put checkpoint, but they may not work. But road inside Auroville, which is entirely on Auroville land and connect entirely only Auroville point to point, it has less power of attraction, I mean, if you have this element. And on this road, we have all the main amenity and public building. Combined to that, we are thinking to start, as soon as the road network is adequately extended, to start a service of public transport. In my view, we don't need to wait until to have the Crown Road completed to start a service of public bus transport that touch point to point. There are few stretches that can be made, and maybe some transitional arrangement, like, for example, paving existing radial in the cultural zone that can easily connect somehow from the next year in a bit way from the central guest house at least to the CSR road. And then maybe from there you can start having a kind of a bus service that can shuttle on every 10-15 minutes all around the main point of Auroville, from the solar kitchen and central guest house node up to the Barattiva Selectiva van and back. This, with this very small investment for like 4 or 5 electrical bus, it will be possible to ensure this on a very regular basis. And we have put in our 5-year plan to the government a request for electrical vehicle, and not only electrical vehicle, but also for making a diffuse network of charging station all over the city area. Great. With about, I don't remember, but I think 36 point, I mean, that is the plan that we have included.
To encourage, yeah.
And of course, we will not receive fund because we are in a situation now that the government, if the fund from the government in India are not increasing in the best of case. So we are not realistic, but we will have to do fundraising from some other direction. Here we are going to meet one major objection. In fact, even from other experts that came from Europe in the past, we had the discussion that we are investing too much for road in provision to have public transport, when the dimension, even the final dimension of Auroville 50,000, will be too small to justify this. I have different assumption because I've seen experience even in Europe of town with 20,000 or 50,000 people, which has been working quite well.
Yeah.
Of course, not at the beginning. It took years to pick it up. But it's important that we take this model until we have only 2,000 people, because it set the habit and the trend how the mobility it is organized. If we wait to be 10,000, 20,000 to start a proper public transport system, then the trend will become difficult to reverse, and even the road and mobility model would be done in a different way. So if all around, the idea is that all around the city center will start very soon a system of public transport that will encourage, in a way, a certain type of collective mobility. At the beginning, it might be a bit of economic loss, or it might be run a bit empty in certain situations, but it's important to have this experiment done and continue. I've seen cases, projects which have been monitored in this small town in Europe, where it was started collective public transport when they started, the bus were running empty. But 10 years later, without the population increase, the buses were overcrowded. So that the importance of setting the service and setting the example is very much needed. And the fact that the Crown Road covers a very short distance, and using bus, which has flexibility, and they can go in both directions, even going at a very low speed of 15 or 20 kilometers per hour, you can have a bus that in 10 minutes take you in the most fastest point of the Crown Road, and with a fleet of four bus, you can have a frequency of 7 knots every 10 minutes.
Yeah, frequency going is
on
the key.
That, on that direction. Yeah. So the point is that it's possible with a small investment to start the services with a decent frequency level. So that will be one of the first steps.
Yeah.
I think we should always remember that the one truly ecological way to go around non-polluting is the cycle.
Yeah.
Because whether we go for petrol transport, diesel transport, or electrical transport, as it is, the reality today is that those are still perhaps not for the electrical on the spot, but in the global picture, it is still producing CO2. Our electricity coming as it does, practically, physically, from the lignite mine in the south here in Nevelly. So as long as we are not really in control of our sources of energy and make them ecological and sustainable, then we are having actually a problem on the level of ecological transport. Cycles are excellent because not only they are non-polluting, but they are also excellent for your health. And I think that one of the emphasis that we should put as L'Avenir Group is to really make this cycle path network better. It's already very good. There's already a very excellent work that has been done. But to actually make them, perhaps simply maintain them better so that everybody is encouraged to use them. I think that is a point we should remember in this discussion.
Make it more accessible, because yes, one point which has come off in is our cycle path are not so friendly accessible.
This is really interesting. I have a couple of questions. I'm listening to you, Sarah. I jumped as a mother of two at the Mr. Doshi's little comment.
Yeah,
okay. And invite him to try and walk his two kids to school, go shopping for lunch, and then make it to office at 9.
Yeah. In the
evening,
horrible. Yeah.
But those are different realities, and I obviously see what he's saying. I have a question, a hypothesis. So what if, why couldn't we question? So why couldn't we, as Aurovillians, and I hear all your legal land infrastructure concerns, but apart from that reality, we are a society. We are people who can make commitments on how we move around without the physical reality on the ground, yeah? Like, if all Aurovillians, for example, would agree, or a majority, that the city center is a motor-free zone, and we leave our vehicles at certain points, and we offer cycles, electric vehicles at these points, and we have the infrastructure, and we do that, And of course, we don't impose it on the villagers who have a right of passage, and we don't impose it on the people we have no right to impose it on. But we, as a community, make that step. Why wouldn't something like that work as an interim? You know, I'm not talking about a final solution, but as an interim step. Because why I'm asking this is, from my opinion, it's as much a mind shift we actually have to look at here. And in ourselves, then money and budget and roads and infrastructure. And I actually think it's the bigger challenge, because it's very convenient to just get on our motorbikes and zoom up and down. We don't even need to think if we forget something in Portus, because we can just go again. And or the kids, you know, the youth, do you really think they're going to get on a bus if they have an option to take the motorcycle and be very independent? So, yeah, what would not work about this interim solution of Oroville as a community saying we're making the city center motor-free for us, for our everyday, and let's work on that solution? Where are the challenges?
When I speak to people in Oroville and we talk about this, you know, over a cup of coffee or whatever, they invariably come up with, you know, as Orovillians, as residents of this place, we need to get from point A to point B with the minimum fuss and with the minimum time wastage and fuel wastage. Taking a bus and getting off at this point and then waiting for the... Because this bus is not going to be at your service all the time. There would have to be fixed timings. So how do we coordinate that kind of thing, given the fact that we all are scattered around this 10-kilometer radius, you know? And then we have all the forests and everything in between. So it's a vision. It's an ideal that we would like to work towards. But on a practical level, it's true, and even the youth, as you just mentioned, how to get them off their motorbikes and onto public transport. You know, it's going to be more than a mind shift. I think it's calls for a greater kind of...
And what about the cycles? Like, I'm just... Sorry, I just really... Because in European cities, you have it. You have cycles all over the city.
Yeah.
You put a euro in, you use it, and then you take your euro like a, you know, a trolley in the supermarket.
I have one key here.
Of the, the Paris one?
I have one key. No, no. I use it in...
In a small town?
Not a small town. All over a network of cities in Italy, on the line between Piacenza to Ancona. I have a key, which I gave a deposit of 10 euro. I did many years ago, and it's still valid. And whenever I reach a station in any place along that railway line, when I get down from the station, there is one parking with the grid. I put the key on the... on the parking slot, and the key allow me to take out the cycle, and the key has a number which correspond to an ID card which I give, and with that I can go everywhere. When I go back from the place and get the train, just can plug in again. It's a very simple system, and it allow you to have a tool, actually creative solution. I've seen there are plenty of that in, but the basics to have a creative solution, you need to have a public transport. If we start saying now you have to go from Maitrei to the visitor center, you drop the, you park your bike at the Vicus Radial, then you walk to Baratnivas, and then Baratnivas take another vehicle to a visitor center, it does not work. We need to have, first of all, this kind of basis, some kind of mini ring or meandering ring, but with a reasonable distance around the city center to start. Second step is planning of time, time planning. Most of cities in Europe are starting this exercise of the master plan of the timing. Because what is important for the mobility, how to organize the time in a city, is reduce the mobility. So if you reduce the time of opening of school with certain hour opening graphics, they said either synchronize or desynchronize. For example, because then it helped to distribute the traffic or to organize better the mobility. Let's say, for example, in the case of Oroville, just small, every school open 8:15, 8:20. We have hardly any office that open before 9:30, hardly anyone. In the best of case, is open 9:30. So if you want to take your kid at school, and take walk. Then you have, suppose you take walking, then you have to have hang around for 1 hour. And if you take with the vehicle, then you make 2 trips because you go to the office, you come back home, and then again you, and then again you take the school. So there are some devices which can be better used with the better regulated traffic. A better synchronization of the walking and the school time can already either cut by half the movement of the vehicle, or allow, may allow different time and different way to go in this direction. And another important thing is regarding cycle path. I mean, their design should be integrated with the overall overall design. Because, for example, why we are having a crown road that is circular, cycle path can cut through. Cut through the city center. So in that sense, they may provide a short faster distance advantage, and you have the choice. I mean, I can take a mean of or a motorized vehicle of transport, or I can just go. We should also keep in mind that not everybody, either for age or health reason, can use cycles. So that is. To have a balance between these is important, but definitely that the cycle path location should be designed not as it is happening until today. It is more or less making a cycle path where it is possible, but keeping in mind the overall urban design. Configuration.
Urban that, design. It has expected. To be in harmony with that. Yeah. 9:49. So it's a very good round, very good reflection, and I really particularly concur with Sauro indication that it has to be a regional vision, it has to be a local vision of the development of Auroville and solutions which are not only for those who are in the city area, but also for those who are in the Auro model area. However, I think it's... like in many other issues, water, anything, environment, it's an integral approach which has to come up, where all the aspects are there, public as well as cycle. Because if we have only cycle, which are most welcome, you don't address the many type of traffic. When you analyze, we have a dozen of type of traffic. How you do about the construction? We are living inside a construction site. How you do about all the taxi that we call ourselves, about the goods which come in and goes out. And then the major things of local village inside the master plan, like Bharatipuram. So, 9:50, we have 10 minutes to find all the solution. And one question. Maybe we should have a second round, because the question of traffic is complex, but what we were searching all the time was, is there possibility, after a reflection, a large overview, is it that possible also that we see something moving in practice? Few questions. One, would it be possible that here at the city center, I don't speak of the entire city area, at the city center, we take it as a first experimentation. We have done the same here, in this area, since 1.5 years. A lot, and you mentioned, Abba, there should be a different mind frame. The people should see the practical aspect of the advantages, but also remove a lot of fear. 1.5 years of conversation with 50, 60 residents to take away a lot, what about this, what about that, what about this. And the operation finally and has been successful. Now we have only 1 or 2 cases who still don't go, but 98% of the people accept to make this area fully pedestrian. Taking courage from a positive experience, can we extend this and providing also alternative transport at the city center, I meant, the peace area around Matrimandir, to make it as peaceful as possible. Three, actually. One is really go back to a better control of the movement of the rickshaw and car coming in. Two, stop the bus, not the buses, the vehicles going to industrial zone by opening on the Kotakarai area of the industrial zone. Why this is not possible today? It's true that we don't have, there is one land, but we can go around. I have studied, according to the road service, it's possible. What are we waiting for? Three.
It's in the plan.
Yeah, it's in the plan, but it will be nice to have in the implementation.
It's in the plan for the next financial year.
Fine. Three. Would it be possible that even the Eurovillian movement is a little bit regulated? Because when you study, with little intervention, we can reduce the impact of motorbike, or at least channel 2 points. Like one parking here, one parking there, but not the present circulation. These are three things at the city center. For the city area, wouldn't be possible to try again the certitude? Now, certitude and dream, where there is courage.
Courage
is becoming the real entry of Auroville. Have you noticed that? That there, now all the rickshaw enter from there.
Between Rev from the...
Yes, and is enlarging.
At the Chabadi Road.
And that soon we will not be able even to control, because the villagers will say, no, it's our road, why you close it? So nothing is done there. Can we intervene? Can this be addressed immediately, whatever is possible, but not keeping aside? Certitude is a big issue, we know, became confrontational, but a little bit is done, but not sufficiently. Is it the moment to try again? Then, third. Yes, I have 8 minutes, I take it now. We were gentlemen with you. Now, third is, because these are very practical and will be even one, if you see in the ground, you can't imagine the joy and the sense of progress. The area behind, there are two things, and I conclude. The area behind the residential zone coming from Quila Palayam is more and more used, you know it very well. Is there something possible to make a kind of regulation and the penetration from the green belt? So these are, I have not mentioned the 20 points, please notice, but I have mentioned
them, yes.
I have mentioned six of them where something is expected to be done.
Well, I have a little comment to make here in terms of traffic awareness. You know, we are talking about village people who do not understand English. We were speaking about putting up traffic symbols with some kind of a message that you are about to enter a zone that is Auroville, where you're supposed to have a calm traffic. It's supposed to be not a speed highway.
Right.
But these kind of signs, which villagers as well as educated people could understand, that they are entering into a different zone, you know, it's an awareness that has to be inculcated at the village level, at every level around Auroville, that they're entering into a different zone. If that soft regulation can come into effect, then we can maybe think about harder options. Like, I don't know, if it doesn't work, then you have the check post idea, which we are not, I don't know if Nicole would like to say something about that.
Can I just put something in here? Because I'm really cringing inside, because I think the people who drive fastest are the Aurovillians.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I have so many, if I drive in my car, I drive 20, 25, and I'm being overtaken by everybody and horn dead and, you know, why are you driving so fast? And not everybody, so but 98, exactly, why are you driving so slow? Sorry. 98% of these people are Auroville. So before we talk about having to bring over a message to people around us, we have to be an example. Just a reality check. It's really not, it's far from reality that Aurovillians behave civil on the road in a way that we can say, oh, next is teach it to everybody else.
That's, you know, I travel most of the time on my moped with my kids. I do have a car, which I do drive slowly on a stretch from Certitude to Solar Kitchen. But when I'm behind a car or a lorry carrying, you know, huge amounts of cement bags and all, I try to race past it because the amount of fumes and the dust that comes into my eyes is not fun. So for Aurovillians to drive faster, maybe they're trying to get around these lorries and a lot of external traffic that comes in. You know, that's part of the ground reality as of today. But I know that we need to slow down. At the same time, we have all our commitments. You know, we have families, we have work. We do need to get from A to B in a certain amount of time. So we aren't just living in limbo, you know, where we have all the time at our hands and we can just slow down. And I know that I'm speaking completely opposite to what should be the reality. But every time this topic comes up, people say, are you talking on a visionary level or are you talking on the reality level?
The reality.
We need to reconcile this and we need to take into concerns, into consideration, all the concerns.
Sure. But can I have an answer?
Sorry, it's Nicole.
Yes. Yeah. I am just asking to address the point I have addressed.
I am asking
for an answer.
See, the points you have addressed are several, and I don't think in the 2 minutes we have left we can manage. Mobility. So if we, first of all, would like to avoid that traffic from outside of Auroville uses the roads of Auroville, uses Auroville as a crossing
bypass
possibility, I think we have to plan our roads in such a way that it is physically impossible to drive fast. So there are a lot of research and implementation that has been done the world over about how to create a space on the road that forces you to basically limit your speed. I think that the signs that you are speaking about are very necessary and should be implemented at the earliest, because we need, I understand very well what you're saying, but we need to be proactive in showing what it is that we would like to achieve, and these signs are valid as well for the Orwellian as they are for the outside people. On the question of trying to stop some of the entrances to Orville in order to better control the entrances, this has always been something that falls between working committee, security, L'Avenir, concerned Orwellians, who basically has the, not I would say control, but who has, who is, feels responsible for a certain area. And courage is a case in point. We basically said, fine, go ahead. We even found a gate to put that coverage. But the work, I noticed the other day, has not progressed. So I think it is always the question of our internal coordination. And not only our internal coordination, but I think we are still at a point in Orville's development where the sort of the individual responsibility in making sure that something happens is still very important. Because somehow otherwise things tend to fall within the cracks. Regarding what's happening here around the city center, around Matrimandi, I think there is basically a strong difference between what happens in a housing development that is Orwellians only, or volunteers, or people who are residing, and with what is happening, for example, with the 100 workers at Matrimandi. Or even the people coming to see, which we have tried, really, even for the people who are just coming for the chamber visits in the morning to try to regulate. But there is always a give and take. You cannot go the whole way straight away. The number of people who are coming here to the town hall, to the financial service. So, yes, I would like to come back to what Sauro said before. Where do we place the facilities, the services, in such a way that if those are services and facilities that are going to be used not only by us, but also by, for example, all the workers in the commercial units or things like that, how do we place things so that we minimize the impact of the traffic that we cannot really control, because we cannot impose to somebody, now you get off your bike. You know, it's difficult, especially when we are only 2,000 people.
Just quick, I mean, on on two topics. I will take when it is 10:03. I close. Maybe there is another round. We go in more detail.
We've got a nice clock here.
It is envisaged in our program of the budget fraud next year to do some investment on in the industrial zone, because we want to develop an industrial zone. So we have in the pipeline the Yantra radial, which might be possibly connected via Vindara Farm and provide another access for lorry. But we have to see the implication, because once we have the lorry inside the industrial zone, how do we prevent that they come
to the crown? Yeah,
that is a critical point.
Sure.
And actually, we have one critical matter regarding the access. It's true, for example, the entrance from Korge. We had a meeting with, you remember, Nicole, a few years ago with the L'Avenir Working Committee, Security Service, that we closed that area. Again, we come to two options. Either we invest in budget. Our will invest a lot already in security. I don't know what is the latest figure. I remember 3-4 years ago it was about 33 lakh per year for security. And if we think that we regulate the access for only with security, external security, is simply not affordable.
Exactly.
So again, there should be one way of responsibility and proactive involvement of our civilian if we want to have a certain type of control.
Yeah.
Stop here.
No. Simply, we need the seat of a traffic service. And now we are at the moment after 40 and so years, where we need a traffic service as much as we need a road service, as much as we need a health service. And one advice would be, please, you can be the driving force of all these elements. Please, if we find one person or two or a little team who can really become a traffic service, it's needed like never before.
So if any of you listening to us feel inspired by this job description, who do you contact? You go to L'Avenir and say, here, I want to... We would like... You can come to the RAS. We'll tell you where to go. And it needs people who take up responsibility from within our civilians and make these things real and implement them on the ground. And there we are.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for coming, everybody.
Maybe we can meet again in future.
If
something comes up.
It's definitely an ongoing topic. Maybe somebody will call and say, I want to take it on. So our next talk will be that with that person.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good meeting now.
Thank you.
Right, you're going on.